Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you who listen to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality or place of, hallelujah, gender, no matter where you call it from. Let me put it this way, no matter who you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. You can call in with your prayer requests, your question, 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Praise be to God. For those of you that don't like doing over there, just contact us at email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So we are grateful once again. Glory be to God for the word of the Lord. We're grateful for what God is doing. And glory be to God. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. And as we wait for my brother, Brother Eddie Lee, to come on to head off this heart-to-heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that you have blessed us to assemble together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask today, Lord God, that you would bless us as you have done. Strengthen us through this time of trials and tribulations. Help us to proclaim the gospel unwavering with boldness in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we need your spirit. We need your spirit to rule and overrule and to do what needs to be done. And Father, we are in need of strength and we need your strength today. So Lord God, bless your man of God as he speak tonight. Bless the listeners, Lord God, in Jesus' name for your glory. And Lord God, we just thank you for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. And we magnify you in the name of thy precious son, Jesus. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God for another opportunity tonight to go into the word of God, to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for being God, for being the ruler as he has been. Thank God for the Holy Ghost and for strength. I thank God that his reward is greater than anything that you can be tested with, people. I always keep that in mind. I know that it's been tough. I know it's been a testing. And I know that sometimes you feel like throwing your hands up. I understand where you're coming from. And sometimes, you know, you just feel like just, I can go as far, I have went as far as I can go. But the beautiful thing about God is that when you about to turn loose of the rope, he always catches your hand. He always catches your hand. I hear to declare that your reward is going to be great. I decree it. It's going to be greater than whatever you have went through. It's going to be greater than whatever trial you're facing right now. Let me encourage you to hold on. Hold on to the Lord's unchanging hand. Glory be to God. No matter how it looks, people, hold on. God's word is his word and it's true. God said you are more than a conqueror. And we're so grateful for as being not only servants of God, but children of the Most High God. I speak that to those of you who have accepted Christ as Lord. He is our Father. He watches over us. And I'm so very grateful. Thank you, Jesus. for being God in our life, to being our Lord, our Father. You're worthy to be praised, to be glorified. In the name of Jesus, all glory and honor and praise go to our God. And he is worthy, people. So like I said, be encouraged. Your reward will outdo or be greater than your testing. And like I said, I know there's times that you feel like, man, this thing ain't working out. Or you like, man, I don't know. And believe me, I know where you come from. Trust me. I'm not just talking noise to you. I know where you're coming from. And we're all going through a trials, testing. It may not be the exactly same testing, but we're all going through testing and trials. No man is without being tested. But the same God will bring us through us all. Let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom.
My blessing.
Shalom unto you.
Amen. We actually got an hour and 15 minutes, brother.
Oh, okay.
Instead of an hour, got an hour and 15. Yeah.
Okay. Grateful, thankful that we're again permitted to share the testimony of Jesus and the end time cry, prepare to meet thy God. And so we're grateful on this special event of the Handmaidens Night, the Women of God, that we give special recognition and honor to in every place around the world. We greet the saints in Christ and the kingdom believers and those that are following the plan of the gospel. We greet you in Shalom. Yeshua is Lord. I'm so grateful for this hour that God has permitted us to have. And so just thankful and acknowledge Jesus and the Holy Spirit and acknowledge the prayers of the intercessors and around the world who are interceding for a breakthrough. And we thank God for them. Amen. All right. So what you were saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, brother, I was just encouraging people to let them know that the reward of God that he has for you is greater than your testing that you're facing. And we all need to keep that in mind, that the reward is always greater.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the testing part is, the Lord talks a lot about in Scripture about the testing of the believers. And as we get close to the coming of the Lord, the testing will increase in any area because Satan, as Revelation 12, knows that his time is short. So for that, that's one of the reasons why the testing of our faith and the testing of our commitment to Christ will intensify greatly from every source. And from every source, we will be being tested. And the Lord God spoke by the angel, the messenger coming in our day, with a word from the Lord, from the throne of God, says that we're going to be tested at Job. So every believer might well get their armor on, because the testing of Job is an example of how in these latter days we will be surely tested and tried and proven. So can you hear this phone, brother? Because it don't start. It may have. Have you heard it? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you real good.
Okay, very good. Just want to make sure. Let me know if it decided not to cooperate.
Okay.
Well, you know, primarily everyone who named the name of Christ called themselves the redeemed in Christ and the children of God by faith through Jesus Christ and the new birth, and those that are born of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost and washed in the blood of Jesus and went down in his name and come up walking and talking and living in the newness of life. They will be an intensified testing from now on in every area of your life. You might as well, Jesus warned us about it. The apostles spoke. The early apostles spoke about it this day. And so everyone get ready and get prepared. Put on your seatbelt, because there will be great tests of our faith. Just like the early church in the first and second and third century went through intense, even unto death. Even unto death. So we haven't got that so far in America yet. I say we haven't come to that far yet in America. But other believers around the world are being ultimately tested, even unto death and imprisonment and beating and stoning and head cut off and all of that. Being put to the test, they want them to deny the gospel, deny Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. They want Jesus to take it back, and they want mostly in these nations, especially the Muslim nations, they want your head if you don't acknowledge Allah. So there's going to be intensified testing in every area. And so Job was tested in all four areas, I think. It's four areas. And I think it started with his personal wealth and money. And then it started into his home, into his marriage, and his children. And it just worked its way on up. So, you know, the devil's going to try to hurt you and hit you when he knows it's going to hurt. So you got to keep the faith. Keep strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because the testing is going to come in every area that Job was tested. So we might as well just say, hey, I'm going through and I'm going over and with the victory. So let's thank God. Father, help your people to make ready for the great testing, the refining, the fire, like the three Hebrew boys were put to the ultimate test, and Daniel the prophet was put to the ultimate test. And then we have Job, hallelujah, as an example of how the redeemed believers in the last days would be put to the ultimate test. Thank you for choosing us to be tested to glorify your name. Amen. Okay. Let's see, Talk Brock Radio, those that are out there in every nation, every country, we salute you. And those that are going through great testing and great trials and suffering, dig deep, go deeper, greater commitment, commit your way totally to Christ and the gospel, and trust his promise, believe his promise, and embrace his promise, and he surely will be with you all the way and give you his victory. Many people are going to suffer for his name's sake, for his word's sake in the gospel. And people are suffering for many things because their land is under a curse or under oppression or tyranny. The Lord has promised that this is the day that the kingdom of Christ shall roll forth and fill the earth. So there's a conflict. And it's conflict between these two kingdoms. Okay. Can you still hear me clearly, brother?
Yes, I can.
Okay. We were talking about yesterday connecting health and wellness and living under the blessedness of the Lord Jesus and free and liberated from a lot of things that are coming and attacking the believers, and that how the Lord has redeemed us and recovered us and reconciled us and justified us through his blood and through his resurrection. And we've been talking about how all of the promises that was obtained for us by his death, many of us are not enjoying these promises or don't even know about these promises that the Lord paid for, gave his life a ransom for. But by the way, ignorance will kill you. You know, ignorance will kill you. And the Apostle Paul talks about, I would not have you ignorant, children, in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about it, and he talks in another place. I would not have you ignorant of the things of God. I would not have you ignorant. My people are short for the lack of knowledge, Hosea said. So the Lord doesn't want us not to know what our hope, our deliverance, our victory, and what our benefits are in this hour. We're going to need to know what the will of God is about everything. And every area of our life, we're going to have to know the will of God, seek to know it, and understand it better, the will of God, in every area of our lives. All right. Because the ultimate task, Brother Nate, is coming after a while, is called the mark of the beast, where we bow down to this new religion that's coming forth, and a prophet and a new world government, where we're going to submit. And so that's the ultimate task that's around, that's down the road. So right now we got a time of preparatory and a preparation. Okay, now it would be wonderful if the saints was raptured out and then it had to be tested by none of all these great testings, great tribulation in his day. It would be wonderful if that was true. But from where I stand, I don't see that being very accurate, that we're going to be delivered out of the great tribulation, but we're going to be delivered in the great tribulation. So out and away is not meeting the test, but staying here and getting the victory is what God's glorified. When we get the victory, we meet the enemy face to face and say, amen, we got the ups on you because the Lord is with us and not forsake us, not even in the great tribulation. All right. Restoration. Would you want to read that scripture in Acts 4? Acts 3, verse 20 to 22 or 23. The restoration, the restitution of all things. Of Holy Ghost in Jesus' name.
Acts chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 19. Go to verse 22. The word of God said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you.
Yeah. And you know, it talks about the important part of God's plan that we're in today, the area of the time period. It's called the time of restoration and restitution and restoration of all things. And we're in that time frame now. We're entering into that time frame called the 12th hour, Matthew 25, that what is called the 12th hour, the 12th prophetic hour of God's plan. And the Lord has a timetable concerning his dealing and working with mankind and his coming, the second coming. So here we are nearing the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the second coming of Elijah. And so we have these two great events, the second coming of Christ, but before that, the second coming of Elijah to bring about the restoration and restitution of all things, as Malachi 4:5 said, that he's coming before that great crisis time. When he's coming before Jesus, Malachi said, before that great terrible day, he's going to prepare a people and warn the world and give away a hope and deliverance to prepare people to be the bride of Christ. Now, The time of restoration and restoration is very important because the time of restitution and restoration of all things. I don't think many believers understand the importance of this prophet that's going to come during the time of the restoration and restitution of all things. Don't hear too much about it, a lot about it. You hear a little bit about it here and there about restoration, but there are some areas that there's no breakthrough of understanding. And so we're understanding what that means about that particular prophet is coming, will be revealed during this cycle of time called the restoration and restitution of all time, today that we're living in now. When does it begin and when does it end? When did it begin and when will it end? Well, you know, I was thinking, Brother Nate, about something just a few minutes ago, found in Deuteronomy. It said Moses said, the secret things belongs to Yahweh, but the things that are revealed belongs to us and to our children. Now, let's get this. There's a lot of secrets, a lot of mysteries that the Lord don't give men. There's a lot of mysteries that are not unfolded to men that the Lord holds unto himself. And that's why the prophet Moses said this in Deuteronomy, I think it is. It says, the secret things belongs to Yah, but the things that are revealed belongs to us and our children. Now, you know a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul is preaching about the end time, he says, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, the time and the seasons, when it get near the coming of Christ, he said, and he was warning the church 2,000 years ago, but he was speaking primarily to us and to this day. Brother, you're not ignorant, but you know the time and the season. Now, what is it that we're supposed to know? Brother, will you know the time and the season? Because you're not in the dark as those that sleep are outside of Christ. But he says that the redeemed church, his believers, our covenant believers, are to know, are to be aware, have unrevealed to them the times and seasons which they are living in. And we know we're living in a time that the great awakening and the way of time of restoration, time of restitution, the time of refreshing, the third wave of the Holy Ghost, and the greater harvest. Now listen, Paul said we're not to be ignorant. Are we asleep? Are we walking in darkness about this? He says the time and the season. Now what is he? Here's the thing that in Matthew 24, as Jesus is talking about the end time prior to his second coming, he's explaining this, Matthew 24. One of the things he says, this mystery of the very day and hour that Christ shall return, no one knows. It's not given to anyone. Now, it says Jesus himself out of his own mouth, no man, not even angel, nor the Son of Man, know the day or the hour. Now, he stops there. He says no man would know the day or hour. Didn't say about the times and seasons approaching or nearness. He said no man know the very day nor the very hour. The Apostle Paul said to redeem, prepared, sanctified, get ready church in a lot of days, brethren, you're not ignorant. You know the times and seasons concerning the coming of the Lord. Okay. Here's something to think about. In that same teaching of Christ in Matthew 24 about the end time, of the kingdom, time of the kingdom of God coming, the kingdom of Christ being preached, Matthew, so he talks about several things in a particular time frame, the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom of Christ being preached, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and it's going to be restored, and that's part of the restoration. Hallelujah. Now, I know the gospel has been preached in part, but the restored gospel, because the apostasy and the falling away that took place during the dark ages, the gospel has to be fully restored, because the church, as we understand, went through apostasy in a dark age of falling away, and we know it has to be fully restored. Hallelujah. Now, and we're living in a time where all things are going to be restored. The time of restoration, we're living in that hour where all things be restored. So what do you think, the secret things, like nobody is given to know this mystery, not even Jesus himself knows this, no angel, nor any person is to know this mystery, the day of the hour of the Lord coming, but we're to know certain things, the time and season, brethren. We are not in the dark. Now, the Lord, have you thought about this, Brother Nate? The wise men that came from the east knew that Jesus, that the Messiah was to be born. How did they know that? How did they come to know that when they traveled from far away distance, and when they got there, I don't know whether they traveled a year and a half, a year or whatever, how long it took them to get from where they, maybe a year or so. But they knew it was time for the Messiah of Israel, the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, to be born. You thought about that? They knew.
Yeah, amen.
So they were given this to know when the first coming of Christ come, they knew it was time for him to be born. Now, the scribes and the keepers of the law of Moses, the main group, Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, they knew something. Some people who were very pious and keepers of the law and of that day knew, according to what was written, that it was time for the Messiah to come. Now, how did they know that it was time or the season that it was time for the Messiah to come? What signs in the scripture was given for them to know in Isaiah 7:14 that it was time for the Messiah to be born? Because even these pagan people, or we call them pagan because they were not of Israel, or the God of Israel, they came, three wise men, far distant, from different lands. I don't know how these three wise men even got together. You figure out how these three wise men got together, Brother Nate? They come from different nations.
Amen.
How did they get together to make this journey? Because they come from different nations. One of the wise men came from Iran. One of the other wise man came from Africa. And there's a third one. So how did they get together to know, to come to the place where the Lamb of God, the Holy Messiah, the promised King of the Jews was coming? You ever think about how they got together, how the mystery of that?
Never have figured that out.
I don't think a lot of people figure, how did they come to know, since they were not of Israel, Israelites or Hebrews, at that time they were not a seed of Abraham that we know of. We don't know a lot about their history. There's very little about these three wise men. So it's not in our abridged version of the Bible, but there seemed to be a little information in other sources about these three wise men. So a lot of stuff is not in our Bible, what we call the abridged version. A lot of stuff, details about different things, are not in there. But other sources seem to have history about certain things. So these three wise men, as they were called, astrologers or stargazers, what do you want to call them, they knew that it was time and they come looking for him. Isn't that strange? They come looking for him.
Amen.
And they were outside of the commonwealth of Israel. They were not covenant people of the living God of Yahweh. They were not of Abraham's seed, as much as we know, but they came from these different nations who served strange gods and false gods. And like I said, one of them come from Persia, and one of them came from Africa over Ethiopia, and one of them come from another area, the third one. It was three. The Bible doesn't say three, it said wise men, but we know it was three. Later on, we find out how we know it was three. And so, they knew. But the second coming of Christ, he said, we can know the signs and seasons, brethren, but we can't know the day or hour. Is that correct?
Amen. Amen.
But in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that whole chapter tells about certain things were going to occur and happen in Israel around about, so they'll know it's time for the birth of the Messiah. They should have been expecting him, because the wise men knew that there was the star had led them to the place, to the nation, where the king of the Jews was to be born. Isn't that fantastic? They knew specifically, and they were guided there. And I believe, of course, that was an angel that guided them. No flying saucer. I just don't believe. Well, I just put it to you back, but I'm not going to get into no flying saucer. This will get me on track. So one night we're going to talk about these, what we call the flying saucers, unidentified flying objects. Do the Bible say anything about it? Yeah, the Bible does say something about that. But we're not going to get on that tonight. So, the time and the season. The time and seasons. What are we to know? Now, Daniel, the prophet, says he saw the end time. He was given a vision from the beginning of the birth of Jesus until the second coming. Isaiah also knew and saw a lot of things from the beginning to the end. These two men, Daniel in particular. And Daniel talks about the end time when the Christ come, the kingdom of God shall come, the Christ shall come to rule, and Israel is gathered. Now, one of the things that Jesus said in Matthew 24 is that we are to know, and he gave us a sign. He said, when you see, what is it, Matthew 24 and 22, he said, when you see a parable, when you see the fig leaves begin to blossom, a tender leaves begin to blossom, then you will know. Now, this is something he gave us a sign. He said, when this happens, you shall know. And then he tells us what we are to look for and to know. The tender leaf or the fig leaves is a sign about a nation called Israel. Now, Israel was scattered for how long? Into all nations in all the world. For over 2,500 years, they were not a nation in the land. Israel was scattered for over 2,500 years or more. And the Lord Jesus said, as a sign, this nation would blossom and come alive again. Daniel says, in specific time, and I'm going to show you why the Lord gave specific signs. Daniel gave three different signs. He gave us different time periods. He said the 1,260 days, 1,290 days, the 2,300 days, and 1,335 days. They all, these days represent years, actually years. So what's going to take place that we are going to have a definite guideline or a measuring line about the end of this age, the end when the kingdom of Christ is going to come and fill and Christ is going to come? Now, you know when he said the fig leaf, when did the fig leaf nation begin to blossom? You have an idea when it began to tender plant? Well, that's a symbol of the fig leaf is talking about the nation of Israel. So when did Israel get put back as in the land, restored? When did Israel, was Israel restored in 1948, recognized as a sovereign people in Jerusalem? They were in 1948, United Nations, United States, Harry Truman, and recognized Israel, Palestine, Jerusalem, the Jews, their homeland. They were recognized as a sovereign nation after over 2,500 years. So this happened in 1948. Now Daniel talks about these days, these times, these prophetic times, 1,260 days, 1,290 days, 2,300 days, 1,335 days. When the birth of Jesus came, the wise men knew it. Some people in Israel was expecting it. The time frame, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They knew that the king of Jews was to be born. The second coming of Christ, there are signs and seasons definitely we are to know. Paul says we are to know the time and season. The birth of Israel as a nation, after being scattered for 2,500 years, had become a fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy in Ezekiel and Isaiah's prophecy. When they're back in the land as a nation sovereign, there is a definite sign that we can measure. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see Israel become a nation, in Matthew 20, he says, from that time on, the people that perhaps are born in that time will be alive when Christ shall come again. All right. Restoring the proper timeline about what's taking place now in this 12th hour. We are in the 12th hour, the timeline. We are in the 12th hour. We are in the 12th hour, the midnight cry. Now, what is this midnight cry that Jesus is talking about, brother? People before the midnight come, the 11th hour, the 9th hour, the 6th hour, people was preaching, teaching. But what's so special about this last hour, the 12th hour, that Jesus said in Matthew, this 12th hour?
The last hour, the message of where he's calling his people to come together as one, to get prepared for the coming of the bridegroom.
Yeah, but you know, when Jesus, when he spoke about this, the 25th chapter, about the 10 virgins, describing something particular, he says the period of time that it would be like unto 10 virgins, 5 was foolish and 5 were wise. And Jesus, you know, he put things in a prophetic sense and hid them in a parable. And he said about the coming of Christ in the 12th hour, he said the foolishness that they, about the church world or his people, 5 would be divided. 5 would be foolish, 5 would be unwise, 1 be foolish. Now, what is the foolishness of the Christians today? That half of the Christian world will need to be awakened or restored again to get this extra oil in their lamps. Now, he talks about extra oil, having their oil filled or refilled, extra oil in their lamps, because the foolish virgins, their lights went out, right?
Right.
So they didn't get the extra oil. They most likely said, I don't need, I already know the Bible from book 1 to 2. Have you met Christians saying you can't give them all, I know everything? Have you met those all knowing all Christians?
Yeah, yes I have.
And you can't tell me no more, I know the Bible from beginning to end, and I'm saved and sanctified and filled, and I don't need no more, right? And those that don't are not filled. Those that just ordinary believers, that some of them are born again, some of them not born again, some of them are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and anointed and given revelation. And some are just, you know, just church members. They're not really born again. They're just good people, but they're not been redeemed. They're just religious people. Then there are those people who don't have any conversion with Christ, who are just good people, and who think that they are going to get there just by just being good people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. The foolish is, there's a lot of people who are not redeemed, actually not even having been converted or redeemed in Christ by the gospel. And then there's those that haven't put on their suit called sanctification and cloak of righteousness and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the foolishness is that when they cry at midnight, that, now look at the Matthew, it says there's going to be a cry at midnight, right? Matthew said there's going to be a particular cry at a particular time, and it's a time of the kingdom, a time of the kingdom. When he said this gospel of the kingdom should be. So how is this going to be restored? Now, this is the time also of the time of everything being restored. So if we have everything we need, then we would need nothing to be restored. Is that right?
That's right. Amen.
So many Christians are going to say, I don't need it anymore, right?
Right.
You talk to good believers, they're saved, and some of them are converted, and some are what they call sanctified holiness, and some have understanding about some deep things in God. Some have more deep revelation about different areas of God, and they're great and wonderful people. And they'll tell you quickly, I know the book 66, and you can't tell me nothing. I know it. I got it all. Is that sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar. You're right about that.
So the foolishness is that at Matthew 25, the 12th hour, it says a cry would be made. Have you thought about what Jesus said? A cry was going to be at midnight. What's that all about?
Amen. Amen.
So what do we think about? Why he says at a particular hour? He didn't say this particular point about the 11 and 9, he said something was going to take place at the 12th hour.
Yeah.
Where is this cry going to come?
This cry have to come from a heavenly being bringing the word.
Well, half of the people don't believe in that Brother Nate now. We love you and all that, but now you're going a little far, brother. We don't believe in all that. That was done away with 2,000 years ago.
Well, I can see God doing it because we already beat each other over the head, so we won't listen to each other. So he had to come with a heavenly being to do it.
Now, brother, we are dispensationalists. We believe that the Lord does not do those kind of things anymore.
Yeah, that's why we in the situation we in now.
Why do you think in the hour, the 12th hour, so much darkness? He said one of the things that we would notice at the 12th hour, you know, midnight is the darkest hour of the night, isn't it? It's called a midnight. It's supposed to be the darkest,
right,
just before the breaking of a new day, right?
Right.
And so do you notice that a lot of spiritual darkness has filled the earth, and especially America?
Amen.
And the world?
Yes, amen.
And what it says,
yes,
in Isaiah and Joel chapter 2 and Isaiah 60, gross darkness shall fill the earth. Isaiah 61 said gross darkness. And Joel chapter 2 said the day of a terrible day, a awesome day. And he says blow the trumpet in Zion. Okay, awaken. Awaken, awaken. So this awakening, why would, brother, if we have everything we need and ready, why would we need a restoration and restitution? If something happened at the 12th hour, a message that says, awake, O Zion, put on thy better garments, and get the extra oil. This extra oil that the foolish virgins didn't want. And these virgins are church people. They're not sinners. Virgins aren't
right.
talking about sinners. The word virgin is talking about, Paul said, I like a little church as a virgin.
Right.
Espoused to Christ. So the redeemed people are called virgins because they espoused to one husband, Christ. So these virgins, five and foolish, were church people. You know, so here we are. The foolishness of these five didn't get the extra oil. Now, I know most people just say, well, it means that they didn't speak in tongues or something like that. No, that's not exactly what it's talking about exactly. Not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a little further than that. A cry is made at midnight during the time of restoration when everybody said they got enough and they got everything they need.
Right.
Did this coronavirus tell us that we weren't where we ought to be at? Did this coronavirus tell a lot of people that they were not where they thought they were?
Oh, yeah. Indeed.
What do you think this coronavirus did to awaken us, stir us?
Well, it showed us that we wasn't in the place where we should have. Stir us up to the faith where, you know, with so many people being laid off of work, there was a time to spend with God because, you know, we were too busy, you know, for that, you know. We were busy, busy, busy people.
Okay, what else is on your mind during this 12th hour? A time of awakening and time of restoration. Now, you notice in Matthew, it said there was a cry made at midnight, and then Acts says the prophet, a certain prophet is raised up during the time of restitution and restoration. Now, they
right.
go hand in hand, and right? This prophet who's come during the time of restoration of all things. Now, both of these go together because they have to, because this is at midnight, and gross darkness, and traditions of men is taken over, and compromise of the gospel is taken over. Now, listen what it says. In Malachi, it says, behold, I sent Elijah before that great and terrible day. Jesus said, the second coming of Elijah comes prior to his second coming. There is a second coming of John in the spirit and power of Elijah. Matthew 11, Matthew 17. So here we are with the timeline. Let's see. The timeline, Israel is back in the land, 1948. Daniel the prophet gives a particular date when Israel will be back in the land. Indication in the prophets of Daniel tells you when they are restored, Israel is restored. One of the signs, since the coming of the messenger, Israel was restored in 1948. The messenger started coming in 1929. Now, restoration of many things start taking place. And one of the things that was not placing the great prophetic sign was that Israel was restored to the land. The next thing is that the redeemed covenant New Testament believers in the last days had to be completely restored. And what else? Because it's the time of restoration. And the foolish said, we don't need nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, I will see, do we need the extra oil, and what is the extra oil? That Matthew's 25, the extra oil. Hallelujah. I have gone among many good, wonderful, loving, caring, and sanctified believers, Christians. Many of them have revelation, good things on many things, and a lot of them are not humble at all. They said, I don't need no more, brother. I know everything. I got all the book. I know the books from book to cover to cover. I said, yeah, you done drank all of it, huh? You understand all of it, huh? And they would preach the check. Is that familiar to you again?
Yes, it is. Very familiar, brother.
You know why Jesus said to traditions of men, in Matthew 15, the traditions of men in his day, in our day, is such a detriment to being foolish? Because once you get locked into your traditional area of Christianity and you think that nothing can happen outside of your group. Have you ever thought, okay, let's go to each Christian group, and they all say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm the Methodist, I'm a Episcopalian, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Church of God, I'm a Holiness of Latter Rain, I'm a faith movement. Do you know a lot of them don't think hardly anything can happen outside of their particular group. They mostly got it all. Most of them.
Right.
You think that, huh?
Right, you're right about that. Amen.
And I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I know when I first came out here that the Church of God in Christ and the Assembly of God would say this, and the Apostolic in the Jesus name, and the Latter Rain, they would say this, we got it all, and you won't be over here, the Church of God, you're going to hell, Church of God in Christ, you got to speak in tongues, Jesus name, you got to be baptized in Jesus name, if you don't take the Lord's Supper this way, and then the Latter Rain said, no, you got to be over here, then the Baptist said, well, you know, this and that. I said, John the Baptist didn't establish the church, that Jesus established the church, Methodist, well, as well. And so all of these groups thought they had a monopoly on the things of God, and nobody could add to them. No, God could not add anything else to them, nor to their
understanding. I also want to say, brother, too, just to cut in with you on a minute, the sisters, if you're listening, we have about 22 minutes left. We have to cut the broadcast short, so I'm going to just let them know.
Burst them in.
Amen. So I'm just letting them know because I hadn't been able to get, I didn't get in touch with them. So I'm letting them know.
That's so good. I'm glad. Good. Burst them in. Time for the child to be born. Burst them in.
Amen, sister. So that's the message. So we're waiting on y'all to come on. Praise be to God.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
We're waiting. Hello.
Well, you got one.
Hello.
Come on. Let's introduce Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. Carry on with the word of God. Amen.
No. We're not going there now. We gave the start. We done jump started it, and we took the battery and we jump cable, Brother Nate. Now it's time for them to run the car, right?
Well, I know it's a conversation going on. But to me, it's the teaching, and the people are so deserving, because I think, and I praise the Lord for it, because I'm getting so much from it, and the Lord is refreshing my memory, and I just think, and I praise God, because the Lord has been giving me about putting on that full armor, and this teaching is teaching us how we're going to get that armor. I thank the Lord. Because I heard you talking about the 25th chapter of Matthew's, and that is the church. I have heard that sermon preached so many times about the five wise and five foolish virgins, but people aren't telling the people that that is the church. It is mankind. So I thank God.
Okay. We have a brave soldier, Sister Allison. She decided to come on. And maybe we'll find one more brave soldier. Anybody out there hear us, have a question, or anyone that has something they think they want to add to this conversation and the discussion and this lesson, you're welcome to it. Wherever you are, you have a prayer request or a question, or you want to add something that may, you know, add to the conversation of our understanding about the coming of Christ. Now,
well, we got our other sister finna come on here, brother. God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless. I thank the Lord for
Shalom.
The word, the conversation that went forth today.
Shalom.
Shalom. Hello.
We jump started. We got the battery started, so you jump in the seat.
Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord tonight for the conversation that went on. And I was sitting here, I was just listening and just meditating on the word that was going forth, you know, about the five wise and the five foolish, and, you know, and how, you know, that we're going to have to prepare and make ready, you know, for the things that is about to come and the mark of the beast. And I just truly thank the Lord for the word that have went forth on tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if the coronavirus shook up the world and is shaking up the world in the natural, governmental, social culture of our land and shook up the church world too, what we call the redeemed believers and other religions as otherwise, if it shook them up, and that's just a little small thing, and then the people who said they don't need any more or nothing to be added to them, and nothing be restored to them, they might want to rethink that position.
Amen. Sure. Yeah.
Because those that think they got it all and need no more may want to reconsider that when at the cry of midnight, there is to be something else given to you during that hour that you are going to need. Hallelujah. Because the foolish were foolish in their thinking, and they didn't have the extra oil to take them all the way through. And they said, give us of your oil. But it's too late.
That's right.
It's too late. You had your opportunity. The time has passed. Noah has locked the door. You can't get in. When Noah locked the door, those that were foolish was seen to be foolish. When Noah had gave them the opportunity to a way of their deliverance, and when the time was up, too late. I can't give you mine. You got to get your own. to get your own. I just got enough for myself and to share with other people, but you must get your own. You must get your own.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, the average people that have added more revelation and light, some of the other groups in Christianity, each group advances as much as the Lord revealed to them. Now, such are the groups that the Holiness and Latter Rain and the Church of God and Faith and the Assembly of God, many of them have more light about certain things. Then the faith movement about the gifts of the Spirit and revelation and different things, and God is advancing them. But sometimes when he advances people, they get puffed up and they say, I got it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't need no more.
Amen.
And I don't need any more. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled, speaking with tongues, and living, and that's great. That's wonderful. That's marvelous. But do you know that the real test has not come yet, and coronavirus let us know something, and I'm talking about the redeemed covenant believers, the sanctified and the Holy Ghost and the latter, it's telling us something. It is making us aware of something. Do you think it is making us something or making us awaken up about something? Do you think?
Up to you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Well, do you want to say something before we go off to the women around the world, dear beloved? or to any nation that God put up on your heart, or any people, or any situation in the earth that's going on? Are you aware of what's going on? Jesus said, be alert and be aware. Stay alert and stay awake. Do you see what's going on in the earth?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks a lot. What
you know,
John tell us in our,
I'll find out. Go ahead, brother.
That we shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So therefore, this little shaking that Corona came in, and it shook a few people, but the people that it shook, they will begin to preach. The word says that call on the Lord until you hear from heaven. The word tells us again to bring about that solemn assembly. And the few people that Corona shook, they will begin to armor themselves and call upon the Lord. They will do that.
Okay, Sister Helen.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, then. Yes, I just thank the Lord, you know, for the word that have went forth tonight. And, you know, and in the word of the Lord, it was saying that the Lord people, you know, have seen trial and affliction. And he was saying, but let all arise to a closer, you know, walk with the Lord. And he is telling us, you know, how to prepare. And he was telling us to arise to, you know, to greater faith, you know. And that is through in his word, and that his word is, you know, being manifested in our spirit and come alive. Because that's what we're going to need to be able to stand in these last days, you know, is believing and trusting in the Lord and in his word, and that we have to know for an assurance, you know, that his word is going to stand for us. And so I just like to encourage each and every one out to just hold on, and that we all going to have to, you know, come closer and closer, you know, to the Lord in this last day. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, to you out there in any nation, especially those in many nations, to our brother and sister in Russia, Mexico, Venezuela, Brazil, whether you in a far distant land in Africa, in Sudan, in the Philippines, Russia, or even China, we don't know exactly who may be hearing, but wherever you are, the Lord has opened the way for us to give you the good news. There is hope, redemption, and restoration, and a way of deliverance through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are suffering, and you have great, great conflict and difficulty wherever you are, we want you to call on the Lord Jesus, even if you don't have a Bible, even if you don't know too much about this Christ, this Redeemer, and you may be in a strange land. In your culture, you may not know about the gospel of Christ. Is the healer and the deliverer and the Redeemer and that meet the need of your life. You'll begin to search out the scripture, the gospel. Find a Christian church that teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't have one, there's an underground church in these nations where you're underground to teach about the love of God in Christ, and Christ died for your sins and rose again. Begin to seek out those things, and God would open door for a better way in your life. And that salvation and redemption is to you and to all nations. Christ is coming, and he's coming for a people prepared. Join the family of God. Be redeemed. Be birthed into the family of God by faith. And so we want to say to you today, the timeline we see, we're living in the last generation. According to Matthew 25, this is the midnight. That means this is the last generation. Hallelujah, it's being cried. What is that cry? You should search out that the coming of John in the spirit of Elijah is that last part of that last message and cry at midnight hour. Sound the alarm. Christ Jesus is coming, but before he comes, great tribulation is going to hit the earth. So today we're praying for you, and know that Jesus really loves you and really cares. So do we. And we're praying that you become a part of the family of Christ and part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And his love will have the blessing you need to get you through. Love you now. And may the Lord bless you real good.
Amen. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, my brother and I will be back with part 3 to the Restoration Restitution, the sign of the Restoration Restitution. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Therefore, as for Brother Eddie Lee, Sister Anderson, this is Brother Nate. We love you. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.